Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind audio training series. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of complete transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into these audios. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects to listening to these audios may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Are you manifesting a powerful change in your life? Richard Wilkins said, "Miracles start to happen when you give as much energy to your dreams as you do to your fears." What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich Show. Our founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us in a few, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Unmuted.
Good morning, Mahara, Think and Grow Rich family. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Awesome.
We're glad you're with us.
Good morning, it's Larie from Oregon.
Hey, Larie.
Hey, Larie, how you doing?
Awesome, how about you guys?
All right.
Richard Campbell of West Virginia, good morning.
Hi,
hey, Richard.
Richard. Oh, good morning.
Another good morning, day. All you wonderful people. It's Neil Williams in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Hey, Neil.
Good morning, thank you for family. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hey, Larry and Wendy.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning, Mahara and fam.
Good morning.
Good morning, Goodrich family. This is Weldon from Southeast Dallas.
Good morning and welcome.
Hey.
Morning, Mahara fam. Audrey from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. Good morning.
Hey, Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich family. This is Lionel from Detroit.
Hey, Lionel.
Hello.
Good morning and welcome, Lionel.
Thank you.
Who else is making it happen this morning?
I don't know.
Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Well, good morning. Rick from California.
Hi, Mr. Rick Martin.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
So I guess until the rooster crows, everybody's sleeping.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Good morning. It's Teresa in Portland. I am definitely sleepy.
Teresa in Portland, you have all the reason to.
Good morning. Green from New York.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey there.
All right, rocking.
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning, it's Caleb in Texas.
Hey, Caleb.
Hey, Caleb.
Good
morning. Son.
Morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Not be allowed.
We've got to get happy. Who is that?
Huh? I just come in.
Tell us your name
from Chicago.
Is that Erica?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Erica. Erica.
No.
Welcome.
Lisa Scott, Southeast New Jersey.
Hey, New Jersey.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ray.
Good morning,
Sarah. Good morning, California.
guys doing?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Emmanuel.
Good morning, Emmanuel.
How are you?
Good morning, it's Charity from New York. How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, Charity.
Hi, Charity.
Buenos dias, mi amigas y mi amigos. ¿Cómo estás?
¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué
pasa?
Muy bien.
Muy bien. Estoy fantástico, ¿eh? Well, I'm going to have to learn how to say Freedom Crusaders in Spanish, in Espanol. I don't know how to say Freedom Crusaders. That'll be a good word to pick up. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich Show. Maybe it's afternoon or evening if you're listening to the replay. But in any case, thank you so much for making the decision to be here today in this mastermind with Freedom Crusaders scattered throughout the world. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm so excited about the information we're going to cover today. We're going to pick up lessons today that we can use inside of our personal businesses. We're going to pick up lessons today that we can use to be more successful, to get better results in the marketplace. We're going to pick up lessons today that can help us be more free. And I just love that. Whenever we talk about freedom, there's just something inside my heart and soul that resonates with that word freedom. And you know, that's really one of the major reasons why I show up to this mastermind every day. And probably it's one of the major reasons that many of you show up to this mastermind every day. It's because you've got the fire of freedom burning inside your heart. You maybe have this hope in the beginning that you can be free, and then you get on this mastermind and you hear people that have started with the hope and taken action over time, and then, yes, have stepped into freedom, and that maybe inspires you to continue on. And that's really one of the missions we have here on the Think and Grow Rich Show, is to inspire freedom in other people, to inspire freedom through principle-centered leadership. And, you know, that's one of the differences, I think, of the mastermind that we've got going on here, is that we do strive to have principle-centered leadership. You know, yesterday, I worked really, you know, diligently, pouring my soul and heart and all my energy and mental faculty into a project that I'm working on. And I finished up around 5 o'clock or so. And my wife had to go do some church service. And so I was home with my 3 younger kids and I was tired. But you know, last week I was mowing the lawn and our sweeper broke. I don't know if you guys know what a sweeper is, but you hook it on the back of your four-wheeler and you drive over all of the clippings and it automatically picks them up. Well, my sweeper broke last week and I haven't gotten it fixed yet. So I looked outside and there were these piles of grass, you know, and I was like, darn it, you know, gosh, do I really want to go out there and perform some manual labor in my yard? I said, yeah, let's do it. So I said, hey, boys, let's go, you know, while mom and your older brother are gone, let's go ahead and get this work done. So me and my three younger boys are 6, 4, and 8. We're out in the yard, you know, raking, and I'm raking the grass into piles. And my 3 younger boys, they went and grabbed this box, and they were following me around. And whenever I'd make a pile, they'd grab all these grass clippings and put them in the box and then haul them off, you know, to the spot that we had designated to put all these grass clippings. And these 3 little kids were diligent. I mean, they were working hard, and I was so proud of them. And I told them, I said, you know, you guys are, my goodness, you are hard workers. And I said that to my 4-year-old Cash. I said, you know, you're a hard worker. He says, I know I am. I started laughing. And then I said to my 8-year-old Camden, you know, he's working hard. I said, Camden, you work hard like this in your life. You combine that with using your mind. If you continue to work hard and you learn how to use your mind, I said, you can do anything you want in this world. And he says, really, Dad? And, you know, we had these conversations about, you know, what might be possible. And so we're just out there working for about 2 hours or so. And then there was a spot when I got a little tired, and so I leaned up on my rake, and I was just kind of looking around over the grass and over the evening and over the mountains and enjoying the scenery. And my 4-year-old says, get back to work, Dad! You can't stop! So I got back to work. But in any case, that little experience reminded me of one of the really core fundamental principles of having success in life and business that is not talked about all that much in the home business profession. and it's work, you know, putting your hand to the plow, showing up and taking action over a sustained period of time, putting your heart and soul into something to the point where you might get to the end of the day and you're dang tired. But you know what? You look back over your labors and you say, it is good. I am pleased with the efforts that I put in today. And going back to, you know, the seed thought that introduced this line of, you know, discussion this morning, principle-centered leadership. I believe that if we can find, understand, and apply principles and then also learn to duplicate those principles in other people, that's how we're going to create the most sustained, the most duplicatable and the most sustained success. Because as Stephen Covey says in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, if a principle is a principle, it will work for Paul just as well as it will Mahara and Arthur and anyone else. If it's a real principle, people can latch on to that and they can get results in their lives. And one of the things that I think we are striving to do here in this mastermind is we're striving to be different in that regard. We are focused on principles. And I think it's important, and I think there's a lack in the world today of that type of leadership. You know, it's almost like sometimes people will, in the home business profession in any case, they'll be like, you know, here's this bag, and on the bag is, let me show you how to make $100,000 a month, or let me show you how to make, you know, $20,000 a month in the next 90 days, or whatever the thing is. And then you grab that bag, the person grabs the bag, and if you can imagine, it's like a brown paper bag. And on the outside is written this big, massive benefit. And then they grab the bag and they're like, okay, I want it. And then they look inside and there's nothing there. All they got was this bag with this sort of empty promise written on the front. And that's sort of indicative maybe of some of the things we see happening in the marketplace. And what I want to encourage myself and everyone here, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but anyone who's listening to this audio or here on the live mastermind show, I want to encourage us that when we deliver paper bags to people, to have substance inside so that they see what's on the outside and they're like, yeah, I want that. And then they get the bag and they look inside and they're like, whoa, look at all this great stuff in here. You know, when they get our products and when they join our businesses and when they, you know, get around the things that we have to teach and share with them, they'll look inside that bag and they'll be like, my goodness, this was more than I expected. I'm so grateful that this stuff is here. Being people and striving to be people of substance, it's like we're having these bags and we're filling them with good stuff and we're delivering them to the people around us. And that's, I think, one of the differences of having a goal or having an aspiration to be a principle-centered leader. And I just want to commend all of you for being on that path, because the fact that you're here listening to these words today, engaging in this particular mastermind, I believe means that you're that type of person. So I'm going to unmute the lines. I want to encourage you all to give each other a big round of applause. Give each other a shout out. Give each other a hoorah for doing, as you know, Gandhi said, to be the change that we wish to see in the world. This mastermind is unique. You are new. You are unique. You're taking the road less traveled, and that, I think, deserves a big cheer. So let me hear you on this amazing, wonderful Wednesday morning as I unmute the line now. Thank you. I love you so much. Okay, well, who has the definite purpose self-confidence formula ready for us so that we can be practicing our first two principles of how to be successful, right? Having a purpose, building confidence and faith in ourselves. Star 6, if you've got that, come on out.
Hey, Paul, Neil Williams here, if nobody else is ready.
Hey, Neil, would love to hear you do it for us this morning. Go ahead.
Fantastic. Well, I'll do it with love then. My major definite purpose. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of,
I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hand. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize that dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day, with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Napoleon's prayer. O divine providence, I ask not for more riches, but more wisdom with which to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control and direct my own mind to whatever ends I might desire. Thanks, Paul. Back to you.
Thank you, Neil, for being here and doing such an amazing job. I want you to know that I do believe in you, and I know that there's a bunch of other Freedom Crusaders here on the line who do as well. So let's check that real quick. Hey, folks, if you believe in Neil Williams here in Idaho, let's let him know.
Way to go, Neil!
Yes, we believe in you.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? If you're ready, say I'm ready. We are in Think and Grow Rich. We're in the chapter on organized planning, right around page 98 of 235. And Dr. Napoleon Hill is just finishing up a couple of spots where he says that leadership is in demand. And then we're going to jump into this next little piece where he talks about when and how to apply for a position. And I want to just give everyone a thought here to kind of preframe the information we're going to read. The information that we're going to read is directed at people who are looking to apply for a position in employment. However, what I want to encourage everyone to do is look to see how this information might apply to you if you're looking for employment, or if you're an entrepreneur, which I know many of the Freedom Crusaders here on the show are entrepreneurs. Think of it in terms of how to apply for a position with your customer. Because isn't it true that if we're in business, really our bosses or the people that we want to hire us are customers? And I went through this little piece of literature yesterday with that thought in mind, and I picked up some insights on how I might better be able to market myself and my business And I think maybe you will as well if you go into it with that frame of mind. So let's go ahead and get into this. Number four, he says, where leadership will be required, the religious leader of the future will be forced to give more attention to the temporal needs of his followers in the solution of their economic and personal problems of the present and less attention to the dead past and the yet unborn future. Fifth, in the professions of law, medicine, and education, a new brand of leadership and to some extent new leaders will become a necessity. This is especially true in the field of education. The leader in that field must, in the future, find ways and means of teaching people how to apply the knowledge they receive in school. He must deal more with practice and less with theory, right? And
Paul?
Mike. Yeah, I stepped on the cord of my mic and it yanked out. Can you hear me, Mahara?
Yeah, now we can hear you. You're good.
Okay, sorry about that. I was just going to pop out and say this is one of the reasons that inside of our community we have this metaphor that represents the formula of success, which we repeat from time to time. I actually got this from one of our practitioners, Todd Nuclear Young. He says, Paul, the formula for success is mindset plus skill set times performance equals results. And we came up with this metaphor of this bicycle, the bicycle of success, where the left pedal is mindset, the right pedal is skill set, and you got to get on the bike and ride in order to get to your dreams, right? You got to get on that bike and ride every day. It's not about just soaking up knowledge, you know? It's about applying what you learn, because counsel is really, really important. Wisdom from those who have gone before is really, really important. However, it can only go so far, and I like to share, you know, from time to time, my experience of learning to play the guitar. And I've been taking lessons from this online instructor, and I'll sit there and I'll watch this instructor, and then I'll practice. And I say to my kids, I'm like, what if we were to just sit there and watch this instructor on the internet and never actually do what he was telling us to do? We would never be able to learn how to play the guitar, because so much of learning how to play is in going through the motions, training your fingers, training your unconscious mind to respond, and that all comes through action. So yes, get on the bike and ride, right? Like Dr. Hill's telling us. Sixth, new leaders will be required in the field of journalism. Newspapers of the future, to be conducted successfully, must be divorced from special privilege and relieved from the subsidy of advertising. They must cease to be organs of propaganda for the interests which patronize their advertising columns. The type of newspaper which publishes scandal and lewd pictures will eventually go the way of all forces which debauch the human mind. Unfortunately, haven't got there yet, right? But maybe we're working towards that with what we're doing here on this show and in this Mastermind series. These are but a few of the fields in which opportunities for new leaders and new brand of leadership are now available. The world is undergoing a rapid change. This means that the media through which the changes in human habits are promoted must be adapted to the changes. The media here described are the ones which more than any others determine the trend of civilization. And now we get to when and how to apply for a position. The information described here is the net result of many years of experience, during which thousands of men and women were helped to market their services effectively. It can therefore be relied upon as sound and practical. Media through which services may be marketed. Experience has proved that the following media offer the most direct and effective methods of bringing the buyer and seller of personal services together. Employment bureaus. Care must be taken to select only reputable bureaus, the management of which can show adequate records of achievement of satisfactory results. There are comparatively few such bureaus. Advertising in newspapers, trade journals, magazines, and radio. Classified advertising may usually be relied upon to produce satisfactory results in the case of those who apply for clerical or ordinary salaried positions. Display advertising is more desirable in the case of those who seek executive connections. The copy to appear in the section of the paper which is most apt to come to the attention of the class of the employer being sought. The copy should be prepared by an expert who understands how to inject sufficient selling qualities to produce replies. You know, so thinking about this in terms of an entrepreneur who's advertising, we want to make sure that we know who we're advertising to specifically, right? We want to kind of hone in on the group of people that we want to market to, And then we want to make sure that our message matches that market that we're trying to reach in our advertising. You know, the copy. There's this thing called message to market match. Who's our market? What are their desires? What are their wants? What are their problems? Well, when we know those, when we know the answers to those questions, we can then craft our messages in our marketing to match what those people are looking for. Number three, personal letters of application directed to particular firms or individuals most apt to need such services are being offered. Letters should be neatly typed, always, and signed by hand. With the letter should be sent a complete brief or outline of the applicant's qualifications. Both the letter of application and the brief of experience or qualification should be prepared by an expert. Now, how does this apply in sales? What he's talking about here is credibility, right? What have we done that justifies someone wanting to hire us? And in the marketplace, whenever we're crafting messages that have to do with inducing our customers or our potential customers to buy our products and services, we do need to establish credibility. And there's a lot of ways to do that, right? You can put pictures of maybe yourself on stage in your marketing to establish credibility. You can put maybe awards that you've won. You can put maybe results that you've produced. All of this is credibility, and it's a really important part of any sort of presentation where you're inducing or attempting to induce someone to listen to you. Because it's like, why would you listen to someone who does not have credibility? So that's an important piece there. Continuing on, number four, application through personal acquaintances. When possible, the applicant should endeavor to approach prospective employers through some mutual acquaintance. This method of approach is particularly advantageous in the case of those who seek executive connections and do not wish to appear to be peddling themselves. Okay? Referrals, right? How important are referrals? And how important it is that whenever we connect with people, we do the best job to make the experience great so that people will feel comfortable in the future referring others to us. How important is it that we do the best we can to make sure that whatever products and services we bring to market are amazingly high quality? Because if they are, people will naturally refer them. I was actually thinking about Apple, you know, the company Apple this morning as I was driving home from the gym. And I thought about how Apple's quality seems to be so high that when I run into a friend of mine that has some sort of neat Apple product, I'm like blown away by it. And I just want to go get it, right? Because the quality is so high. So we can take that principle and apply it in our businesses as well, and I think really increase our referrals that we get. Number four, application through, number five, application in person. In some instances, it may be more effective if the applicant offers personally his services to the prospective employers, in which event a complete written statement of qualification for the position should be presented for the reason that prospective employers often wish to discuss with associates one's record. So think about that for a moment. Actually, like showing up and talking to someone or sending someone a personal note. In 2016, there's a lot of buzz about the internet and autopilot sales and this and that. And, you know, all of that stuff is great, but so is personal touch. I was actually listening to a podcast. I mentioned this on the show a few times, Timothy Ferris's podcast. Timothy Ferris, I think, gets like a million visitors a month to his blog, and he gets millions and millions of downloads of his podcast. And I was reading his book, The 4-Hour Workweek, just recently, and one of the things that he said was reaching out to people that you want to learn things from, and he said the phone still works for connecting with people. So he's like, yeah, personal touch, you know, connecting with people. That stuff still works, and maybe it even works better in this age of fast-paced, now, give me results now environment. When you're actually able to connect with someone, It stands out, doesn't it? It makes a difference. I've got this guy, a friend of mine, who was the founder of a network marketing company that I used to represent. It was actually where I had my first big breakthrough, and really admired this guy. Lots of character and integrity, and this was years ago. And do you know this guy still sends me personalized emails every once in a while just to see how I'm doing? He actually shipped me a product in the mail last week. He's like, hey, Paul, I want to send this to you. You know, just give it a try. And like the only motive that I can sense is he really just wants to maintain a relationship. And you know how many of those people I have in my life right now? Like, not very many. And so what is my estimation of this guy? It's like way up there, you know, because he's like, he's being personal. It's interesting, isn't it? Think about it. Application in person. Information to be supplied in a written brief. This brief should be prepared as carefully as a lawyer would prepare the brief of a case to be tried in court. Unless the applicant is experienced in the preparation of such briefs, an expert should be consulted and his services enlisted for this purpose. Successful merchants employ men and women who understand the art and the psychology of advertising to present the merits of their merchandise. One who has personal services for sale should do the same. The following information should appear in the brief. Education, state briefly but definitely what schooling you have had and in what subjects you specialized in school, giving the reasons for that specialization. Again, credibility we're talking about, right? Two, experience. If you have had experience in connection with the position similar to the one you seek, describe it fully. State names and addresses of former employers. Be sure to bring out clearly any special experience you may have had which would equip you to fill the position you seek. Again, credibility. Number three, references. Practically every business firm desires to know all about the previous records, antecedents, etc. of prospective employees who seek positions of responsibility. Attach to your brief photostatic copies of letters from former employers, teachers under whom you studied, prominent people whose judgment may be relied upon. Now, where does this apply in the sales formula? Testimonials, right? Aren't testimonials nothing more than references of people who have received benefit from your products or services or things that you've shared with them? Testimonials, right? That's what it is in the sales formula. Testimonials. Four, photograph of self. Attach to your brief a recent unmounted photograph of yourself. Now, photograph of self in marketing is super important. People want to do business with people. I remember actually learning from a big-time internet marketer a few years ago, and she said she did some tests on domain names, and she split-tested having her personal name in the domain versus like a brand name in the domain. And she said that her personal name outperformed the brand in the split test, and the only reason she could think of was that people want to do business with people more so than they do with some cold, empty corporate structure. So think about your picture in your marketing. Now, I think it's really important to put some time and thought into this little particular piece. Your picture, especially on the internet, is people. That's people's first impression of you. What do they see? Do they see a shiny, you know, a smile? Do they see clarity? Do they see happiness exuding from your photo? Do they see a little bit of professionalism? Or do they see, you know, like a selfie in a dark room, right? Really important to think about that stuff, especially, you know, in marketing. Really important. Attention to details. Quality, right? We're going for quality. Six. State your qualifications for the particular positions for which you apply. Give full details as to the reason you believe you are qualified for the particular position you seek. This is the application. It will determine more than anything else what consideration you receive. Seven, offer to go to work on probation. In the majority of instances, if you are determined to have the position for which you apply, it will be most effective if you offer to work for a week or a month or for a sufficient length of time to enable your prospective employer to judge your value without pay. This may appear to be a radical suggestion, but experience has proved that it seldom fails to win at least a trial. If you are sure of your qualifications, a trial is all you need. And where does this apply in marketing? Money-back guarantees, trials, free samples, right? Stuff like that. Incidentally, such an offer indicates that you have confidence in your ability to fill the position you seek. It is most convincing if your offer is accepted and you make good, more than likely you will be paid for your probation period. make clear the fact that your offer is based upon A, your confidence in your ability to fill the position, B, your confidence in your prospective employer's decision to employ you after trial, and C, your determination to have the position you seek. 8, knowledge of your prospective employer's business. Now pause for a moment. What are we talking about in marketing? Knowing our potential customer, knowing what their problems are, knowing what their desires are, knowing their business, knowing their mind, getting deep inside their psychology. Before applying for a position, do sufficient research in connection with the business to familiarize yourself thoroughly with that business and indicate in your brief the knowledge you have acquired in this field. This will be impressive as it will indicate that you have imagination and a real interest in the position you seek. Remember that it is not the lawyer who knows the most law, but the one who best prepares his case who wins. If your case is most properly prepared and presented, your victory will have been more than half won at the outset. Do not be afraid of making your brief too long. Employers are just as much interested in purchasing the services of well-qualified applicants as you are in securing employment. In fact, the success of most successful employers is due in the main to their ability to select well-qualified lieutenants. They want all the information available. And again, applying this to like sales copy or sales videos, I've heard some very, very great good copywriters, world-class copywriters, talk about how long should your sales copy be. In fact, Gary Halbert, Bill Moyse mentioned Gary Halbert the other day, one of the world's best copywriters ever, and I'm pretty sure I heard him say, as long as it needs to be, right? If you need to take more time to make your case, then take the time. People who are interested in what you have will go through it if what you're talking about is relevant, right? So short or as long as it needs to be. Interesting. These principles, isn't it interesting how they correlate? Success leaves clues, right? We hear that over and over. Remember another thing. Neatness in the preparation of your brief will indicate that you are a painstaking person. I have helped to prepare briefs for clients which were so striking and out of the ordinary that they resulted in the employment of the applicant without personal interview. Another marketing tip, striking and out of the ordinary. Be different. Don't be like everyone else, right? We got to be unique to stand out. When your brief has been completed, have it neatly bound by an experienced binder and lettered by an artist or printer similar to the following. Brief of the qualifications of Robert K. Smith applying for the position of private secretary to the president of XYZ Company. Change the names each time the brief is shown. This personal touch is sure to command attention. Have your brief neatly typed or mimeographed on the finest paper you can obtain. Now, I want to ask everyone, think about your digital assets, your marketing, your YouTube, your blog, your Facebook page. Have we applied the care and the touch and the attention to detail that Dr. Hill is talking about applying to our written brief? Have your brief neatly typed or mimeographed on the finest paper you can obtain and bound with heavy paper of the book cover variety. The binder to be changed and the proper firm name to be inserted if it is to be shown to more than one company. Your photograph should be pasted on one of the pages of your brief. Follow these instructions to the letter, improving upon them wherever your imagination suggests. Successful salesmen groom themselves with care. They understand that the first impressions are lasting. Your brief is your salesman. Give it a good suit of clothes so it will stand out in bold contrast to anything your prospective employer ever saw in the way of an application for a position. If the position you seek is worth having, it is worth going after with care. Moreover, if you sell yourself to an employer in a manner that impresses him with your individuality, you probably will receive more money for your services from the very start than you would if you applied for employment in the usual conventional way. If you seek employment through an advertising agency or an employment agency, have the agent use copies of your brief in marketing your services. This will help to gain preference for you both with the agent and the prospective employers. So, gosh, we're 34 minutes in. Let's just jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Gosh, we've covered lots. There's more to talk about here, but I know that all of you have great things bouncing around in your brains as to how you can take this stuff and apply it in whatever it is you're doing. So keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call. Please, no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our mastermind here. And brevity appreciated in your comments. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines. Can't wait to hear from you guys. 1 second. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Bill Moist.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome, Paul. How about you, brother?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear your voice.
Same here. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, family. I got two stories that really support what Dr. Hill is teaching us today. And the first is the importance of written material. So, it's been, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, a friend of mine's daughter was finishing up her college career, and she had like one semester left, and she wanted to get an internship at Burlington Northern Railroad in Fort Worth. The reason being, they have one of the best management training programs in the country. But as it turned out, by the time she applied, they already had the positions filled. There was no room left for her. The offer was closed for the year. And so, but that didn't deter her. So she put together a book with her resume in it. It was a book with all the things she'd ever accomplished, articles about her from school and her accomplishments in college. And it was a leather-bound book. She made 3 copies. And her dad's brother, I'd be her uncle, went to church with the CEO, and so he passed it on to him. And then he took it to the personnel department, and her resume, her book, circulated all over that company. They called her in. They hired her. And but here was what was fascinating about the story is, now here she is, just some young college girl just graduating, but between the time she started internship and, of course, they offered a full-time job, she had 3 interviews with the CEO. He was so impressed by this girl, what she did. It was so outstanding. And so she's having an interview with him because he just wants to find out what makes this girl tick. And so in this management program, they have like 5 different departments that they work in. And they can start, and then they move around to kind of learn the whole company. And so he asked her, what department are you going to start in? She said, well, what department did you start in? He said, well, I started in customer service because I want to know what my customers' needs were. She said, okay, I'll do that. And she had a great career there. And then she later got married and moved out of state, but they wouldn't let her quit. She had made such a big impression on the company. So that all happened because of the written material she sent on. And then he talked about, you know, internship, volunteering to get a job you want. So my daughter, Allison, her dream, one of her dreams is to work at a national park. And so a year ago, she volunteered to work at the Capitol Reef National Park in Utah for 9 weeks. She was a volunteer astronomer. And she knew it was very difficult to get into the national park because everybody wants to work in those beautiful settings. And they're so impressed with her that they offered her a seasonal position that she started this spring, and she's living her dream working in a national park. Well, to do that, she had to volunteer first. Her mom thought it was crazy. Why would you work for free? But so those are 2 ideas. This is for Dr. Hill. Those things really do work. And in our business, we need to pay attention to our written material and how it looks and so forth. So I love all of y'all, and back to you, Paul.
Wow, love those stories, Bill. Amazing real-life application of, you know, what we're learning here. Thanks for sharing.
You bet.
And what a credit to you as a dad that your daughter would be willing to do something like that. Kudos to you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Well, I'll go ahead and share the other idea that I was going to share then while we're waiting for the next Thinking Rich family member to jump out here on the mastermind. So I was listening to a multimillionaire in the marketing space about a year or so ago, and he shared an idea with me that has stuck with me and really resonates with this whole philosophy of going the extra mile, quality, you know, doing the best that we can to make all of our business things that we do just really above and beyond, right? And what he said was, he said, if you think of your marketing like a building, you can have a building that is, you know, that has like granite floors and, you know, shiny glass revolving gold edged, you know, doors when people walk in your building. And he said, you can have that or you can have the alternative. And here's what he said. He said, the quality or the feel or the impression of your building will directly determine the types of people that decide to come inside and whether or not they stay. Isn't that a little bit of a different way to look at our marketing, right? So the metaphor of the building. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Okay, Paul, I'll go because I'm not hearing any chat boxes this morning. So can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound great.
All right, that was an incredible share that you just did, okay, on how your marketing is your magnet, okay, and the tone of that magnet is going to set everything in your business. But also the previous comment about volunteering and about exerting of yourself, and I tend to think sometimes in terms of universal laws, and it seems to me, as we've learned to refer to things, it seems to me that when someone enters into a business situation, let's just say they're going to work at a bookstore. When somebody says, I'm not going to work 1 minute that I'm not paid for, and I'm going to do just what's required, it seems to me that the reason that doesn't work is a stinginess of spirit, a stinginess of energy, and a stinginess to the cause. And when someone approaches something willing to give, being generous of their time, being generous of their energy, their creativity, when somebody is willing to bring what they have to the table as just a habitual way of being, I am generous to the world. Wouldn't that be a great affirmation to say? I give freely of what God gave me. I give it back to the world. I give a smile to somebody that needs a smile. I go the extra mile at work. I learn and I assimilate so that I can be of more service. So sometimes I almost think that it is a business principle, but it's also a spiritual principle. And it just seems like the people who are willing to take responsibility or give more or be more willing to experiment or to put themselves out there, those are always the people that have success. And I'm just observing that more and more in life. So I wonder what anybody else thinks about that. If you've observed it, that leaders and successful people, they tend to be busy people and they tend to give in lots of directions. Back to you, Paul. That's what I got.
Oh man, I love how thoughts stimulate other thoughts. So as I was listening to you, I thought about the law of the harvest. Aren't we applying the law of the harvest when we do what you just said? We give out more, and that tends to come back. What type of seed are we planting? You know, we have a decision to plant good seeds in the marketplace and get a good harvest back, or the alternative. And one other thought, you know, that same marketer that I was telling you guys about, when he was talking about his free giveaway that he does to draw people into his marketing, he said, what do you do in your free stuff? He said, you give the best of what you have. And he's like, some people will be like, well, no, I want to reserve that. And he's like, no, you want to give that. You want to give the best of what you have so that people will be blown away by what you shared, so that they'll want to know more, so that they'll want to be closer to you. So that's just another application of what you're talking about here. Hold on 1 second. Let me get the lines. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Jay Rizzle, New Chicago, baby.
Hey, Jay Rizzle, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Doc?
Excellent. How are you?
Doing always good, man. Thanks for asking. I was thinking, this is a little off what you guys were just saying, what you and Mahara was just saying, but the thing that came to my mind was I just want to tell everybody not to downplay their experiences. I think that a lot of times we think that experiences are only applicable that are kind of cookie cutter, you know, like having a degree or being some executive from some top company or something like that. I think that your experiences are just as important. The things that you've done on your own are very, very important. I was talking to a coworker of mine earlier this morning, and we were talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject, but we were talking about things we did, and there was a point in my life where I gave a year of service of my life. Now, it wasn't completely free. I got a little stipend, but, you know, mostly what we were doing was giving service, and we lived in these tiny apartment buildings and these tiny houses with, like, 12 people, and we just gave all our energy and time to helping other people. And it was a couple of things that I did that nobody would have any idea that I did. Like, okay, I was telling him how we were helping to rebuild an ecosystem in an area where it was very, the ecosystem had kind of left and they were rebuilding it. So I was like, yeah, we set these no-kill traps and fields to catch shrews and moles and stuff like that so we could see how many of them were flourishing and that kind of thing. And we built a bunch of fox dens for foxes to come back in the area and so they could have a place to live when they came back. And we helped build the wetlands in the areas. They were making man-made wetlands because they used to be there. And we spent the whole day counting flowers to see if the wildflowers population was getting back to what it was. Like, I could probably be a scientific research assistant after something like that. And on a regular job, you would think that that's probably not important. But I'm telling you that whatever your experience, whatever, even if you think it's not applicable, it applies because it is unique. Like he was saying during the reading, that your experience of what you do and how you present yourself has to be unique. And, you know, I just applied for some contract position this weekend, and I did something I know no one else did in a video, and I'm just expecting them to call me back. So that's all I really have to say about that. Don't downplay your experience, and, you know, that's all I got to say, family.
Jay, you are an inspiration. Appreciate those great thoughts. Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. I hope
hey,
y'all
Paul?
Read. Yeah, who's that? Good morning.
Simpson.
Okay.
And go ahead. No, you already know I'm after you, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Peter Tinsley. I'm in Missouri. This is my first time on the call.
Hey, Peter.
And I don't know if you remember me from Dallas.
Okay.
But, I'm just impressed, brother, and all the bunch, and like the family, and just feeling so much love out of the group. But I'm in business. I ran a copy machine business for 20 years, and it downplayed because technology just, I was in a repair business. You can't repair technology anymore. But in that experience, I've been in and out of businesses, in and out of business. It's been a true blessing of God. And I've since gone into marketing. I market businesses. I'm taking the business that we're learning. And there's so many businesses that want to go online. I'm having a hard time figuring out our networking and stuff like that. But that will come. And I'm excited. But what you're saying is that, you know, and you can see it in so many businesses. I have the blessing of getting in the back door of these businesses and seeing the business, different business owners. And I love working with the successful business owners, and you can see the principles that you're talking about in them. They want to advertise their business. They want to take their business to the world. But moreover, they have an honest, heartfelt mission about them. And that's what you have, and that's what we all have here in this group. And I'm just excited. I really just wanted to introduce myself and thank you so much for allowing me to join the group. You have such a big heart that I know that, and that's what you're talking about here, putting yourself out and volunteering and putting your service out and giving, you know, to the people, and that will come back to you 100-fold over. And I think you're a wonderful witness to that and just a wonderful mentor. And I thank you for being there.
Hey, Peter, love you, man, and so glad that you are here today and really appreciate what you shared. And looking forward to creating some beautiful things together here. So thank you for that. Pat Simpson, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you today, brother?
Amazing. How about yourself?
I'm always so blessed and highly favored. It's funny because Mahara says some great things. So did everyone else. But in part, as part of my company, Code of Ethics, you know, we actually say that we're going to go the extra mile every day. So not just me and my executives, but my entire staff have to read the company Code of Ethics every day. So they have to, you know, promise to go the extra mile every single day. And it's funny, as the LDP, I have to take on the extra 2 miles because, you know, I must lead by example. So it's always funny when we get on our daily calls at the end of the night and we talk about how we've serviced the businesses that we're working with, how we're going the extra mile for our staff, how we're going the extra mile for the experts that have said that they were going to help out in our company. And what happens from that is that you start to attract more things. Like two months ago, we were just in the middle of the launch. Now we're doing so many crazy things, attracted people who want to help us with sponsorships, all kinds of great things. But in the middle of all of that, someone asked me, what happened to your daily videos? Why did you just stop? And I was like, well, I had so much on my plate, and I realized I was just making an excuse. So on Monday, this past, I made an announcement on Sunday, and on Monday, I started doing my daily videos again, and I became the walking head, you know. And I say that all the time because we say, you know, what makes you different? You know, I can show my whole body. I can show all kinds of different things, you know, when I'm doing my daily videos. But I'm just a walking head throughout New York City. And that walking head sharing, you know, my daily dose of happiness, that's what actually made my name. You know, I started being watched by, you know, all kinds of great people, and they started looking into what I was doing. But it all started by just being a little different. You know, it's okay to share your experience, share your life differently than everyone else. You know, not everybody's going to have the best camera. You're not always going to have the best everything. But if you have the best spirit and just something that makes you unique, you'll always find a way to win. Love you guys.
Love it, Pass. You're a great example, my friend. Good stuff. Can't wait to see more of those videos. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Joe Dollar.
Hey, Joe Dollar. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. Paul, good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I love you all. And with this reading, and even Pastor's touched on it, all through the reading, when he's talking about use the finest paper, do this, do that, the thing that stands out is what Pastor said, is that the going the extra mile. And that's exactly what it is. It's just going the extra mile. Like with Bill Moyes, when he said about the story about the young lady that put a story in a leather-bound book. She went the extra mile. And these are principles that we're working. And to make it real simple, is you reap what you sow. Just put more into it, more into your marketing. Give away more stuff. Go the extra mile. And then you put another law into effect, which is the law of compensation. You reap what you sow. A lot of times the things that I do, the results that I get, people see the results like, wow, how did you get that? But the part that they don't see is what I've given to it, what I've put into it. And it's a universal law and a universal principle. You reap what you sow. So if I put a lot into it, if I go the extra mile, I activate the law of compensation where it has to return to me. And it's really very, very, very simple. If you want more, give more. That's the way to get anything that you want. If you want more money, give. Give, 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 give more. Go the extra mile, and you put a law into effect. It's the law of compensation, and it works every single time. You are guaranteed success. If you give more, you will get more. I love you all. Have a great day.
I love hearing you speak, Joe Dollar. You fire me up. Thank you for that. Amazing stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Chris, the Paul of Titan Hutchins.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing, Paul? I think you grow a rich family. You know, Joe just touched me to say something that, and a lot of times we don't really pay attention to how effective universal laws are. And when you give, it will come back to you. A lot of times, not in the form that you desire it to come back to you. But anyway, I've got a story that is kind of funny as well. There's a highway in Atlanta called Georgia 400 where you have to go through a toll. And they don't have it any longer, but they had it for years and years. And when my wife and I would go through, if I was driving, she would always pay for the at least three or four cars behind us. You know, and you know, we joke around because I used to love it when she, you know, when she gets up on her knees and she's in the passenger side because she likes to look back just to see the reaction of the people. And I like, you know, I used to like feeling on her behind, and you know, she'd hit me and stuff. But anyway, we did that. We did that for years and years. You know, she'd always pay for three or four cars behind us. Okay. Well, lo and behold, our company had a box at a sports stadium in Atlanta, and we'd get together. We'd have like company functions there, and you know, have you know, different people come to the box. And every Sunday at the game, you know, we throw a little party. It might be a little business. Plus personal, plus food and drinks. And but the Falcons were so sorry one year that we were just so disappointed with the Falcons that, you know, we were in the process of getting rid of the box because, you know, they were so sorry. We just didn't see paying all that money per year for this box. So anyway, make a long story short, this woman happened to follow us off of the interstate. We went into a gas station, and she pulled up on us, and she said, "I just really want to thank you so much for paying for my toll." And she said, "You know, what are you doing?" We struck up a conversation. Lo and behold, her husband was a real estate developer here in Atlanta, and I was in the process, literally, of getting rid of the box. As a matter of fact, in about 2 to 3 days, I had a meeting with a guy because I was going to just totally get rid of the box. Well, to make another long story short, this woman and her husband, they were moving from Atlanta, and they also had a box. And they were trying to literally, they did not want any, they just wanted to get rid of the box. They had already paid for the box for the next year, for the next 12 months. The box was already paid for. So we just got rid of ours, and we moved to their box. And I was thinking about that when the young man was on the phone, you know, just talking about the universal law, because my wife had done that for a long time. Every time she was with me, she would always pay for three or four cars, you know, that were behind us. And this woman happened to come off of the interstate, and not only did she save us a whole lot of money, and the Falcons were sorry again that same year, but we didn't have to pay anything for the box. But I just wanted to share that back to you, Paul.
Oh, man, that's an amazing story. Your wife, wow. What an incredible woman. Paying for people's tolls. I just love that. Wow, good stuff. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Incredible, isn't it? The universe is mysterious. Ah, good stuff. We do have 2 minutes left. If there's someone else who wants to jump out here real quick, come on out. You know what? Maybe we'll close on that thought and just remind everyone, myself included, that life does seem to be like a mirror. You know, it reflects back what we send out. It's like that metaphor of the stove that Earl Nightingale talks about. You got to put the stove in first to get the heat out. So, folks, I hope you're all inspired as I am today to just go give, go do the best that we can, go the extra mile, follow that law of compensation in a good way. As Emerson says, put God in our debt. He says the dice of God are always loaded. So when we plant good seeds, we can be assured of a great harvest. I believe that, and I'm grateful for it. So let's go put it to work. I love you guys. Thanks for being here. Have a fantastic day. Go for your dreams. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich Show. Take care, and bye for now. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for being here.
I love my life.
I love my life.
Awesome, Paul. Stay light today.
Never give up.
Appreciate you.
Hey. I love each and every one of you.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Love you, guys. Love you more.
Always a good day to plan.
We
should have been sowers today, my friend.
We should have been sowers.